That's an encouraging song, isn't it? He is with us all along. The book of 1 Corinthians addresses a multitude of problems, pressures, and struggles in a church that was right in the midst of a pagan society. Sound familiar, folks? Amen. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, deals with, and there are three just major divisions of 1 Corinthians, he deals with divisions in the church in the first four chapters. He deals with disorder in the church in chapters 5 and 6, and he deals with difficulties in the church in verses 7 through 16. Our text is verse 16, and I have to confess, I'm not a mind reader, but whenever preachers read from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, many people have been in church many years say, oh, here goes the pastor again. He's going to preach on tithing. Well, I'm not, so there, amen. But I will mention it for a few moments, amen. Just want to be consistent with the Apostle Paul here, amen. And of course I am. You know, sometimes people say, boy, the preacher, that's all he does is he talks about money. And he just wants our money. Listen to me. God wants your heart. When He gets your heart, He gets your wallet. Amen. And listen, we talked about in Sunday school, there are cares in this world. You know, our kids need food, and boy, my kids seem to be needing more and more of it. Amen. And we need a roof, and we need tires on our vehicle and all that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first, amen. And that starts with finances. And so he talks about the collection, and then Paul gives us his conclusion in the remaining verses 5 through 24, and some tremendous verses. I love the fact that he mentions here Timotheus, and he tells the church at Corinth not to despise him. And I'll tell you why I believe he had to tell the church of Corinth not to despise him. I believe, number one, it was because he took a strong stand. But number two, because he was young. You know, sometimes, and I appreciate Brother Ken Lawley got to talk to our teenagers today and just encourage them. The teenagers that made decisions up at Teen Spec. You know what Brother Ken was doing to those teenagers? He saw him on fire for God, and you know what he did? He took out his blanket. Not a wet one either. Amen. Amen. And he fanned their flame. Amen. And here, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he said, I know he's young, but listen to him. He knows the Lord. He knows God's Word. Youth is never an excuse to despise somebody. Sometimes those of us that have been around the block a little while think, oh yeah, well, I've seen this before. Don't be like that, amen? Don't be like that, amen? Let these young people and help them to burn for God. And he says there, I also love in verse 12, he says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you. If those of you that know Corinthians, and we'll talk a little bit about it tonight, don't you remember the very beginning of Corinthians when Paul said, hey, you guys are carnal? Why? Because some of the Corinthians said, I like Paul. And the other Corinthians that sat on the other side of the church and wouldn't even look at the ones that liked Paul said, well, we like Apollos over here. I like how Paul said, you know, I don't care about any of that. I love this man. He's a man of God. I want him to come unto you. He can help you. And then there's a great, and I'm not preaching on this either, but there's a great 5-point outline in verses 13 and 14. I'll just throw it at you. You see, the surveillance of the Christian in verse 13, it says, watch ye. Watch ye. To be a watchman. We're to be, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus told us to watch and pray, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That idea of watching means we're always on guard for the Lord's return. You know, if you're watching for the Lord's return, I don't think you're going to be real happy being in sin. Somebody say amen. I don't think that you're going to be really content to be out of the will of God if you're truly watching for the Lord's return. So He tells us to watch. Didn't He tell us in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we see the surveillance of the Christian. Secondly, and we draw our text from this today, we see the steadfastness of a Christian. Stand fast in the faith. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thirdly, we see in verse 13, the stability of a Christian. It says there, to quit you like men. Now that word quit does not mean, it doesn't carry the definition we know it today. It means act like a man. You know, if I had one piece of advice for a young husband today, it would be this: act like a man. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, what we have in America, ladies and gentlemen, is we have a lot of big boys that have never grown up and put on their big boy pants. We need men, amen. We need men that love their wives, men that put others first, men that will endure hardness. Boy, do we need men today. The steadfast, by the way, that goes for women too. We need you to be women though, not men, amen. We need adults. We need adults. People that just know what it is to bear up and be responsible. And oh my, I could preach on that for a couple of days, amen. But that's not the text today. See the surveillance of the Christian, the steadfastness of a Christian, the stability of a Christian. You see the strength of a Christian. Verse 13, it says, be strong. Be strong. There are always going to be weak believers. There just always is. There's always people that are new in the faith and they're just coming up. Like I see the babies, amen, that we have in the nursery. Those babies are not strong yet, amen. They need time to grow and to develop. But what we need is those of us that have been saved a few years to get in the Word of God and dig it out and get the nutrition that we need and exercise daily with God and be strong. Be strong. Be strong, Christians. And then lastly, you see in verse 14, not only the surveillance, the steadfastness, the stability, the strength, but the symbol of a Christian. What's the symbol? What's that identifying characteristic of a Christian? Let all things be done with charity. It's love. It's love. It's love for God. Love for one another, love for sinners, amen. By this shall ye all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. I want to focus in on that second statement today. And I asked the Wednesday night crowd to please pray for me about this message. Because first of all, I need prayer all the time for all my messages, amen. But this one here, you'll understand as we're focusing on these closing conclusions here, that second command there, stand fast in the faith. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that God tells us and commands us to stand fast in the faith is because Satan is always trying to overthrow people's faith. He's always working at that. Now, thank God, he cannot, listen to me. Once you trust Christ, it's sealed and settled forever. Amen. That cannot be altered. But He wants to overthrow us in the faith. He works in many ways, but one of His most effective ways, and effective methods is that He uses seducing spirits, convincing Christians and churches not to take a scriptural stand. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is an overwhelming... Listen, and it's nothing more than demonic in our country. Demonic spirit that says, if you take a scriptural stand, you are a bigot. Listen, folks, they've been working hard at this for 35 years in our country. Satan has been working overtime. And I'll tell you what he has done through this. He has gotten Christians to just sit down and be quiet. Listen to me. God never intended us to be quiet in our scriptural stand. Never did. Never. Listen to me. You know me as your pastor. This is not a license, forgive me, I'm stepping away from the pulpit. This is not a license to be a jerk. See, there's a lot of Christians that do despite to the name of Christ because they're just jerks. They take a stand, and it's a Bible stand, but it's not done in love. They just get to, I think of that horrible organization called the Westboro Baptist Church. I cannot believe I'd call a Baptist church a horrible organization. But I'm telling you what, that one is. Topeka, Kansas. They go to military funerals and protest with signs saying God hates fags. Listen to me, folks. Wrong. Wrong. Okay? God loves sinners. Okay? And their spirit is wrong. Everything about it is wrong. The only thing that's not wrong is when they quote the scriptures. But even then, if your spirit's wrong, so this is not an excuse. I want you to walk out of here and say, Pastor said, we just need to take a strong stand for you to just go out and insult everybody. But I'll tell you this, the reverse is also true. You not saying anything's not helping either. And most times, we excuse ourselves from being a jerk, we become a coward. And that's not right. That's not right to be a coward, a spiritual coward. And I want to encourage you today, I want to admonish you, I want to reprove you today to stand fast in the faith. This is not being preached in churches around this country. Standing fast. I've got 7 points today. First thing I want to encourage you to take that strong stand. You can still have a sweet spirit, amen. Take a strong stand. We need to stand fast in the faith individually, number one. We need to stand fast in the faith individually. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 tells us how God overflowed the world, and he talks about Noah for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. Do you know how many Christians there were in Noah's day? Donut. Zero. Do you know they couldn't gather together and sing the hymns of the faith? They hadn't been written yet, amen. They couldn't get together and encourage one another. But I want to tell you something about Noah. He stood in the faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He stood fast in the faith. Whenever anybody says, it's too difficult, I just can't stand, I'm always reminded that the way we have it is not nearly as bad as Noah had it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can stand at work. You can stand, young people, you can stand at school. You can stand for God. I'm reminded of my friend, Brother Steve Robertson. Brother Steve Robertson was brought up in a preacher's home. One of the best preachers I've ever known, Brother Bobby Robertson. Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. 3,500 people in the service this morning as he's preaching, going on his 60th year. And Brother Steve was brought up in that home, but he never really got serious for God until he was 17 years old. He got saved. He made a profession to probably please his parents, as many kids do, but he really got saved when he was 17. And he had told God, I'm going to start bringing my Bible to school. See, his sister was saved, Brother Lawley, and they had a little Bible club right before service. Right before school, rather. And he always laughed at him. He'd drop his sister off and then walk away and didn't want to be associated with her. So you know what he did, Brother Jared? That first Monday after he got saved, he brought his Bible in. And the biggest, toughest member of the football team met him and he said, hey, Robertson, what's that? And he said, I didn't know whether to run or die. Said, and he looked up at that big football player. He said, it's my Bible. He said, I got saved this Sunday. I'm going to Bible study. And he said, God used that stand that he took individually. And that Bible club grew from just 6 or 7 people to 70 people by the end of that school year. Because somebody said, I can stand individually. I can stand. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, whether anybody does, I was the first one in my family to be saved. I didn't have a Christian home. I had a good home. Mom's here. Had my dad, stable people, but I didn't have a Christian home. And I had to decide, you know what? Mom's not going to give an account for me at the judgment seat of Christ. I had to decide, I'm going to stand. You can stand individually. Secondly, we need to stand not only individually, but we need to stand collectively. Collectively. Homes represented here today. Listen to me. A house divided, Jesus said, shall not stand. A house divided shall not stand. We need to stand collectively. Can I say this to the men here today? Husband, God has called you to lead. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. God has called you to lead. Wife here today, God has called you to follow. But I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, it is so, so, so important that you stand together. Stand collective. I think about this. This issue is really challenged when parents discipline their kids. And you have to listen. You have to purpose in your heart. I promise you, ma'am, that dear man that you married and gave you those children is not going to harm that child unto death. You know how that goes. Amen. I think you're just being too rough on that child. Amen. He knows what he's doing. He's the leader. Amen. Please, somebody say amen. Help me preach this morning. Amen. He's not going to kill that child. But if you have a problem with it, you talk about it privately afterwards. Because your kids need to understand that you stand collectively. You stand together, amen. You support each other's positions, amen, that mom takes. If dad comes home and mom says, I had to deal with this, 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 and this, don't you let your kids play sides against you. And all God's people said, hey, whatever mom said, that's what I say. Whatever dad says, that's what mom says. Amen. Stand collectively. Oh, how we need to do that as a family. Amen. Break open this book every day as a family. Just, it doesn't, and I mentioned this, it doesn't have to be long. Stand collectively. You know what? Let me give a third one. Stand ecclesiastically. Say, oh, that's a big word, Pastor. What's that mean? Amen. It means stand with your church. Stand with your church. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 says that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Listen, folks, we need individuals to stand. Amen. We need families to stand collectively. Amen to that. But we need both to stand with the church. You see, there's a reason why churches overall are dying. It's because Satan is fracturing them. He's fracturing. He's been at that for a long time, just making factions. And this side doesn't like this side, and not at this church, amen. But this little section doesn't like that section back there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand together in one mind, standing in the faith as a church. Listen, this church is against liberalism, and I don't mean political liberalism, though I'm against that too. Somebody said the only thing the preacher's for that's liberal is giving. Amen. And eating. No, not too much. Amen. Liberalism. I'm talking about theological liberalism. I remember years ago there was a great radio program that was on called the Old Fashioned Revival Hour. How many of you remember the Old Fashioned Revival Hour? Oh, listening to that, and they had such great music, and Rudy Atwood would play that piano. That's where Dr. Zachary, by the way, studied Rudy Atwood. You could tell in his piano playing. But Brother Charles Fuller would get on the radio, and I have probably 85 episodes on my computer over them, and you listen to them and you hear him thunder the Word of God, and Brother Apple, you could almost feel the Holy Spirit coming through those speakers. And he started a seminary called Fuller Theological Seminary. Did you know what happened to it, Brother Lem? Some liberals got in there that didn't believe in the virgin birth. Didn't believe in the resurrection. And like Jude says, they creep in unawares. And that place is ruined. It's ruined. They don't put out preachers. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Stand with a church that stands. Stand, Ecclesia. Listen, we stand against liberalism. We stand against formalism. I don't want to be formal. That's not an excuse to just be flippant, amen. Somebody said it's either high church or low church. Well, no, I don't think it has to be either. It can just be church, amen? Just enjoy church, enjoying one another. But we're against formalism and modernism coming in, taking modern methods that do not agree with this book, amen? We're not for that. We're not for worldliness in the church. But listen, it just can't be a couple people standing. We have to stand together. Stand fast in the faith, ecclesiastically, collectively, individually. This is a hard point to preach, but it's part of the Bible. I need to preach it. Stand pastorally. Say, what does that mean? The Bible says in Ephesians that pastors are a gift to the church. They're a gift. Listen, it's hard for me to preach this because I don't think of myself as anything. I'm like, man, that's the worst gift anybody ever got. See me wrapped up with a bow. Amen. That's terrible. Amen. But it says there, and he gave some pastors for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Amen. And then he tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17, to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Can I just, as a pastor, but somebody who wasn't always a pastor, let me just encourage you, don't have roast preacher on Sunday afternoon. Don't talk the preacher down in front of your kids. Don't say, well, the pastor stands for this, but we don't have to do that. I'm telling you, you're doing much more damage than you could ever think. You're saying, don't listen to a man of God who's telling me what the Word of God says. Don't bother with that. Listen, don't do that. Stand with your pastor. And I know you folks do. I just want to encourage you. And let me just say this to you parents, and I promise you, I am in your corner. Be in mine. I am in your corner. Be in mine. Stand pastorally, stand ecclesiastically, stand collectively, stand individually. Stand doctrinally. Stand doctrinally. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, after 3,000 got saved, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is what draws us together and divides those that do not believe like us. Someone has said, oh, I don't like doctrine. Doctrine divides. Yeah, you're right, it does. It divides the sheep from the goats. Doctrine. We stand on the inspiration and preservation of the Scriptures. We stand on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. We stand on salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus. That's where we stand. We stand on the resurrection of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of Jesus. We stand on the second coming of Jesus. Listen, we have to stand doctrinally. The reason why a lot of Christians don't stand doctrinally is they don't study. They don't get in this book every day. Don't bury their nose. Listen, we've got plenty of materials, not only in our bookstore. If you need a book, listen, I shouldn't say this, but I will. If you need a book out of my office, it's yours for as long as you want it, as long as you give it back. And if you don't, I'm coming looking for you. Amen? Why? Because those are my dust collectors. No, I'm just kidding. Those are my tools. Amen? Tools of the trade. Listen, we need to stand doctrinally. When we have somebody come from a different denomination that wants to come and join our church, we want to know what they believe. I don't want another Fuller Seminary on our hands. Don't want somebody wiggling in that doesn't believe this book and these doctrines that we hold true. We need to stand doctrinally. You know what else we need to stand? Number six, we need to stand faithfully. We need to stand faithfully. Moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, this week I just did a little rearranging over there at the membership honor roll. I call it the Wall of Fame of Loomis Park Baptist Church. And I looked and I saw that we have 35 members of our church with 20 plus years of consecutive membership. And it's, folks, that's amazing. When you look at that list of those 35 people, only 4 of them are shut-ins. 31 people on that list attend church regularly. And when you get to the very end, when you get to 55, 60, and 65 plus years, I believe there's 7 names on it. You can check there. And those people come for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If I saw that, I would say, you know what? Apparently that's the secret. Amen. To living a long, prosperous life. Just being in church every time you can. Amen. Listen, we need to stand faithfully. I don't know about you, but I can't survive on one meal a week. Amen. See, and there's a lot of churches that are only serving one meal a week. And it's cotton candy. They're not very nutritious. Amen. I can promise you that no matter what service you come to Loomis Park Baptist Church, if you sit in Jeff Becker's Sunday school, you'll get the Bible. If you're a young one and you come to Mrs. Lawley's Sunday school class, you'll get the Bible. And you'll probably get love and candy and a whole bunch of other things. Amen. If you're a little one. If you come to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, you will certainly get the fellowship of the saints. But I promise you, when we open that Bible at about 7:40, go to about 7:40 to 8:05, you will get the Bible. You will get the bread and the meat of the Word of God. We need to stand faithfully. Be here. Amen. Be here. Be faithfulness to God, to the church of God, to the man of God, to the book of God. And then lastly tonight, today, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. And the last point, I've got just a few sub-points. And this is what I was asking everybody to pray for me about. Amen. That God would just help me to communicate this truth in a firm way, but loving way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. There's a whole segment of Christianity today that is what I call 2-year-olds. A 2-year-old, my son didn't do it when he's 2, but he's doing it now all the time. And that is, why? Why? Daddy, why? Why did, why? 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 Listen to me. There are times when I answer my son, why? Why did that? Well, why did we do that, Daddy? Well, I want to teach him why. But when I ask him to do something and he asks me why, he doesn't get an answer except for probably a raised and deepened tone. A raised volume and a deepened tone. Clean that up. Why? Now. Maybe you're not as mean as I am. I can be kind of mean sometimes. Amen. There's a whole segment of Christianity that says, well, why do we have to worship on Sunday? They're not asking because they want to know. Well, why do I have to wear a tie? Why do I have to wear a dress? Why? And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's two-year-old Christianity. It's two-year-olds. I'll tell you, this verse right here can really settle the issue for it. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Let me give you set number 7, traditionally. We need to stand traditionally. Number 1, let me tell you the first thing we stand for traditionally. We stand for traditional marriage. We stand for traditional marriage. Listen, and I hope you're praying. There are two cases coming before the Supreme Court at the end of this month. One is called the DOMA case, the Defense of Marriage. The other is the Prop 8 case in California, where a multitude of California said, we don't want this. Amen. The citizens of California. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I care what this book says. Amen. And we are standing traditionally. Jesus said when they came to Him and they asked Him about divorce, He said, listen, you're ignorant. You don't know what the Scriptures say. Didn't He not in the beginning make them male and female? Amen. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Traditional marriage. Let me give you something else that traditionally, where we need to stand. We need to stand in the manifest difference between men and women. That's again something that Satan is just taking. He's trying to get women to assume the role of men and vice versa. And it goes back to point number 1 there about traditional marriage. But listen to me. How many of you think it would be wrong for me to stand up here and address? Somebody please say amen. Now I want you to listen to me, and this may be hard to swallow, but I'm going to say it. Ladies, we don't need you in tight britches here. It's just as wrong, amen? It's just as wrong. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There is supposed to be a difference between men and women. Traditionally, amen, it's always worked. God said in Deuteronomy 22:5, man is not supposed to wear what a woman wears, and woman is not supposed to wear what a man wears. Amen, amen, and amen. Manifest difference between men and women. You know what else we're for traditional? Modesty. That's going away, folks. It's going away. It gets to so in some church services that when people come to the altar, and I'm for it, amen, that sometimes you got to have an army blanket on the first row to cover up, amen. Listen, there's an old-fashioned modesty that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2:9. Modest apparel. If it's tight, it's not modest. Somebody say amen. Help me this morning. Boy, I tell you, all this stuff is, this is where we need to stand. We need to stand here, amen, and say, I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the cotton candy church is. We're going to stand where the Bible stands, amen. Stand for modesty. You know what else? Oh, I'll tell you this. And I this is something I'm really, really working with my kids. You know where we stand? We stand for marriage. We stand for manifest difference of men and women. We stand for modesty. You know what else we stand for? Manners. Manners. Listen, my kids are just as rotten as yours. Somebody say amen. Did you have a good day today?
Yeah.
That's Lukey. Lukey's voice. Brother Boston told me he hopes Lukey's voice never changes. I hope it does. Otherwise, we'll be on the cover of the National Enquirer. Young falsetto at age 21. Amen. Lukey, did you have a good day?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir.
I want my kids to be mannerly. It's hard sometimes for the pastor's kids because they want my attention when I'm talking to people. Amen. I'm talking to people. And Eric has figured it out. When Eric wants my attention, he doesn't say daddy. He says pastor. He'd be pulling, daddy, 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 daddy. Finally, he looks up at me and says pastor. I said, make an appointment like everybody else, kid. Amen. But you know what? I want my children to be mannerly. Hey, listen, if we want manners, we've got to stand for them. We've got to stand and say, you know what? Yup is not going to do. Uh-huh. Whatever. Oh, God help my children when they say whatever. Manners. You know what else we're for traditionally? Music. 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 Oh, I understand music morphs over time. Dr. Zachary in our first music seminar did a wonderful job talking about the difference between liberty and license. License is the rock band. Liberty is some people like mandolins, some people like pianos. Big difference there, amen. We're for traditional music, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know what else we are? We're for traditional methods. Methods. You know what always, 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 always works? Hi, we're from Loomis Park Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you out to our church. I'd like to ask you a question today. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? No? Could I take my Bible and perhaps show you how you could be sure? That always works. Oh, you say, not everybody gets saved. That's not what God said. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't command us to win so many people and do this and do that. He told us to go and preach. I read Deuteronomy chapter 28 this morning. 68 verses. The first 14 says how wonderful God will bless Israel if they obey Him. And the remaining 54 talk about all the curses that God would permit upon Israel if they didn't disobey Him. You know, the method of building a church is reaching people. That's God's method. Reaching people. Going out, talking to people, confronting them with the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We're for traditional methods. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, as long as I am your pastor, as long as God permits me to pastor this church, we will stand fast in the faith traditionally. I don't care if it hair-lips everybody. If the church wanted to vote me out, you could vote me out. If I stood right there, I'd say, bless God, God will take care of me. But I know you folks believe that too. We need to stand traditionally. We need to stand faithfully. We need to stand doctrinally. We need to stand pastorally. We need to stand ecclesiastically. Stand together as a church. We need to stand collectively. And you can stand individually. Here's my admonition to you today. Stand fast in the faith. Father, we